Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all we got right now. We all we need. We can do this.
Getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Good afternoon and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you, live from the Colony Square Studios as we get ready for the Falcons and the Saints this afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. Actually, like quite a bit after 4 o'clock, 4:25. Wait until the latest possible non-Sunday night kickoff for the Falcons and the Saints today. And me and Joe are here getting ready to get you ready for another Falcons game. Obviously, we'll react to what this week has been. A really tough one. And I was joking with Joe right as we were getting ready to come on there. I was like, all right, Joe, come on. Let's do this. Let's bring the same energy that we did week one when there was optimism. I said, I wish we had smelling salts. And then Joe threw me this ammonia packet because he has them for some reason.
You got to stay ready.
Why do you have this?
You got to keep one in the chamber, you know, in case.
Right, but that's not like a real answer. Like, why do you have this? Like, that's a funny thing to say, but why do you have this?
I cover Atlanta United, so could be different. I hope not to have to use them this coming year with Tata Martino. Yeah, it's going to be great, but there were some low times. Yeah, right, exactly. The Falcons need a human smelling salt on their sideline, too, to just get them going.
They do. They do. Unfortunately, that's where the season has gotten to, is they stand at 3-7, 5 losses in a row. And while that's bad, this week has been particularly bad because of the loss of the starting quarterback. Michael Penix gets hurt last Sunday against the Panthers, comes out of the game, didn't exactly know what was going on. We could kind of suspect that it was the knee because he landed on the same knee that he had injured earlier in the year. But he was kind of calmly standing on the sideline. We didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then as the week went on, the news developed, and I think it was Wednesday, right around 11:15 or whatever, because we were on the air when we got the news that he was going to have season-ending surgery, and they were going to have to reconstruct the ACL in 9 months or whatever. And that's that. So hopefully for the start of next year, Michael Penix will be recovered and ready to go. For now, Kirk Cousins slots back in, which should have been starting today anyway, if the plan had gone the way that it was supposed to, right? Kirk would still be the starter and Penix would have never played. But obviously we understand that that is not the way things have played out. But here we are, 10 games in a pretty tough spot.
Kind of comes full circle, too, with Kirk resuming at starting quarterback at the place where he initially suffered the injury last year that kind of led to the downfall of him not becoming the starting quarterback around the same time of the season, too.
That was week 10. This is week 11.
6-3 last year.
Yeah, that was their 10th game. This is the 11th game.
Yeah, 6-3 last year. Now the team stands at 3-7. It's you know, the biggest sign of where the Falcons are right now and just how kind of catastrophic this week has been for them is the fact that they're 2-point underdogs to a 2-8 Saints team going into New Orleans, and it's a place where the team has not had a lot of success in recent years, specifically making that trip down there to the Superdome. So it's going to be you know, it's going to be a tough game. And I think it will be a sign of kind of the professionalism that exists or does not in this squad, because it's one of those, you know, again, get out the smelling salts. Right. You got to get yourself ready to go and ready to play, despite the fact that it seems like every chip has fallen against you so far.
Yeah, I'm glad that you steered it that way, because the goal of the show, the tailgate show, is to talk about the game today, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's very easy right now, I think this week, the last couple of weeks, to kind of lose sight of the fact that they're still in the middle of this thing,
yeah.
and start fast forward into what happens at the end of the year, what happens with this player and all that. Like, yeah, and we'll kind of bounce back and forth today, because I do think both are relevant.
Huge
like obviously,
yeah.
obviously today is the game against the Saints, mm-hmm. who's your rival, and it's the one you have and you need to win and all this stuff in a vacuum. And that's a number one. But I also think that now, because of 3-7 and because of, it's year five of Fontenot and it's year two of Raheem and Penix's injury and all this stuff, like the game on Sunday becomes more than just, hey, what does this mean for the division? What does this mean for your playoff chances? What does this mean for whatever? It also plays bigger into the context of what happens next,
right.
as well. And, you know, I'm hopeful that there's some things that can happen today and over the next seven that, I don't know, like that mean positive stuff for the offseason. Like, it kind of feels like every narrative right now is, well, what happens with this guy and after his contract and this guy's got to get fired and all of this. Like, mm-hmm. it's possible that over the next seven games, good stuff could happen and we could be having a different conversation at the end of the year. I don't know that that's going to happen or not, but there is, you can almost always win your way out of stuff.
Yeah.
And the Falcons have dug a very deep hole, like a very deep hole that's filled with not just losses, but also injuries and other stuff. But I do think that a good performance today against your rival would just make people feel better, like in the short term. We just make the fans, and obviously the team for sure, most importantly, but like make the fans just feel a little bit better given the way things have gone.
There's definitely opportunities out there for players to kind of either, you know, establish themselves or take advantage of an opportunity. And let's face it, you know, like whether or not Kirk Cousins, you know, returns next year as the quarterback seems highly, highly unlikely to me, but I just want to keep that option open for the fact that he could. The point being is that, you know, given Michael Penix's injury, he's not going to be able to play in the first portion of the season most likely next year. And so this is going to be the group. Now, obviously, there's going to be some pieces that come in and out, but this is going to be the core, especially if you look offensively of what this team is going to be, you know, potentially with a different quarterback in. But what pieces do you have? And same thing on the defensive side of the football. You know, the team does get Divine Diablo back this week, and the team was one of the best defenses in the NFL when Divine Diablo was healthy. So it will be an interesting test case, not just today, but going forward, to see if the Falcons can reestablish themselves in that way. Obviously, took some hits as well this week. Billy Bowman goes down with an Achilles injury yesterday and is immediately put on IR. Raheem Morris said it was not good news, so that kind of leads us to make a certain conclusion, but we'll find out certainty on how severe that injury is in due time. But point being is that, you know, there are things to look at with this team and be able to assess, okay, is this a player we want to go forward with? For example, Kyle Pitts, we were just talking about him before the show started, a great example of, like, you know, is there an opportunity for him to establish a footprint on this team? If not, if he, you know, if he does, great. If not, you know, that's something that you will at least have knowledge of going into the offseason. And those are the kinds of you know, litmus tests, I guess, that are on the table for players.
Well, that to me kind of is what today starts to be, is you're injured on offense. There's no doubt. Obviously, your starting quarterback is out. Your number one receiver is out. You don't really have a number two receiver at this point of the year. There hasn't really been the emergence of a number two option, like at the receiver position. I know Bijan catches a lot of passes. I know for the maybe first 6 weeks of the season, Pitts was a nice option. Hasn't really worked out that way as much the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But you don't have that second guy.
Yeah.
So with Drake London out, we saw what it looked like against Miami. It was awful.
Can we harp on this for a second? Because it's crazy, because I thought coming into this season, the Falcons actually had a pretty impressive 1-2 punch with obviously Drake London, we know what he is, but Darnell Mooney last year really exploded for nearly 1,000 yards. I kind of figured he was going to have an even better season because Michael Penix was the type of quarterback with his arm strength that could get the ball to Mooney downfield. But obviously, you know, he has that injury that happens at the beginning of training camp, a broken collarbone, as we recently came to learn from Raheem Morris. And I would have to think that that is a large portion of what has kind of derailed his season, but it is unfortunate that it feels like it's back to the drawing board for the Falcons in terms of filling that position going forward.
Yeah, you never would have thought that at this point of the year, Darnell Mooney would have 16 catches.
That is crazy.
I mean, that's insane.
He's played since week three.
I mean, hasn't there been a game this year where Drake London had 16 in a game? Or at least close.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's had he's definitely had that many targets. That's that right there. There's a couple different stats you can look at and be like, dang, all right. Well, that kind of... That kind of drives home the reality of what this is. But the point I was getting at there was, no matter kind of what happens next from a big picture standpoint, like a lot of these guys are going to be here.
Yeah.
Like Bijan Robinson is still the heart and soul of the offense. You've got to find a way on a Sunday in, Sunday out basis to make him more effective. And last week is the most frustrating thing is like after weeks of kind of not being able to get the run game off the ground, first half against Carolina, he was fantastic. I mean, he looked as fresh and kind of as bouncy and his cuts were great. He got in the end zone a couple times and like he looked like kind of first month of the year Bijan Robinson. And then the second half, they just went away from him. And I understand Penix getting hurt seemed to throw like a giant wrench into everything. To me, and this is easy in hindsight, although we were all screaming it at the TV in real time, like, okay, Penix is out, Cousins is in, seems like maybe rely even more on the run game. They immediately go pass,
yeah,
as soon as
yeah.
Kirk Cousins gets in there. But, I mean
the Falcons have been one of the worst third-quarter teams in the NFL, maybe even the worst. I'm not sure. I don't have the stats in front of me exactly. But I would assume that means, well, therefore the offense has also been one of the worst offenses in the third quarter. And it's something that concerns me about Zach Robinson and the coaching staff, which is that it just seems like good coaching staffs come out and play better in the second half. They go into halftime, they're able to make adjustments, get with their guys, and then come out with an optimized plan in that third quarter especially. And it feels like it's the opposite for the Falcons at this point. It feels and it's tough because they very often are – in games, have leads, whatever it might be at that point, and then things kind of slip away from them. And that's, I think, the most frustrating thing for a lot of Falcons fans this year is to see this team have the opportunities to win games. They're not getting blown out of a lot of these games. Some of them they have, but, you know, in some of the games, actually against the better competition, they've been right there. But, you know, it's that old adage, like good teams find ways to win close games. Like, what was it, the Chiefs a year ago or so were just winning every game by one score? And in the NFL, almost every game is one score. And so you have to find out a way to win those strategically. And it feels like the Falcons are, frankly, finding a way to lose these games, whether it's a missed extra point, whether it's giving up a long scramble on a 3rd and 21, or, you know, any of these number of things that have hurt them this
year. Now, unfortunately, we have plenty of losses to sort of like rank.
Right.
But if you talk about the 7 that they have, there's only one that's normal in my like football, like abstract definition of what that means. Like, they just went out and played like, okay, not a great performance, but kind of just got beat by the team that played better on that given day, and that's kind of what happened. I feel like that's the 49ers game.
Yeah, the Niners.
There was plays to be made in the fourth quarter, but at the same time, like, you know, on the road, Niners are well coached. They had a good offensive game plan with McCaffrey. Like, kind of, that's one of those ones that at the end of the year, it's like, oh yeah, all right, you know, sucks. You would have liked to have won it, but you get it. Every other game has either been missed extra point, missed field goal, can't cover a kick, blown out by the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Like, every other of the 6 have been either embarrassing, and there's been a couple embarrassing ones, or just infuriating, and there's been a couple infuriating ones. Like, most teams in the NFL, like, on a given Sunday, it's like, dang, man, we played all right. The other team was a little bit better, and hopefully we can clean this up going into next week. With the Falcons, it's either, like, what happened? Like, did the Space Jam Monstars steal their talent before the game, or... It's like, well, all right, everybody just made horrible mistakes in the fourth quarter or overtime and cost them.
Yeah, that's what's so infuriating. Jonathan Jones, CBS national reporter, tweeted yesterday. He wrote an article saying that, and there was a quote. I don't want the quote in front of me, but he said that, don't kid yourself. There's a single coach who wouldn't love to come in and coach the talent that's on this team right now. And that's what we understand, I think, as Falcons fans, that this is a talented team, and that's why the 3-7 is all the more frustrating.
Yes, indeed, which is why when we get into our next segment and we say, what do you expect them to look like today, is the most complicated question in the world right. when talking about this Falcons team. Because the only real answer is, I don't know. Who knows? Who the hell could know?
Yeah.
Now, we'll know early, because that's the other thing. They show you in the first quarter. They're either going to play awful, and it's going to be an embarrassing day, or it's going to be pretty competitive, and hopefully not disappointing in the end, although it has been a lot lately. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, also brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, but we can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next-level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle today and bring home the W. We'll get back into what to expect them to look like today. I know Joe's going to have a pretty lengthy injury report in the second hour. You're listening to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
And now Atlanta goes home a winner.
Our Falcons play here. And we're getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Andy and Joe on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you on a Sunday afternoon. About 2 hours right now from kickoff between the Falcons and the Saints in New Orleans. You mentioned it earlier, Joe. Smoking Joe Patrick. Andy Bunker here with you. Saints favored now. The line, like Monday when it first came out, Falcons were favored, I think, by 2.5 or 3. And then as the Penix news and London news and just kind of everything went with the week, I don't know if it was 5 points, but whatever, it shifted quite a bit significantly.
Saints are now 2-point favorites.
Yeah.
So it was 1.5 earlier this week, and it's continued to move towards the Saints.
Yeah. So, and I mean, look, you get it, right? I mean, we're all adults here. We get it. Falcons are without a lot of important players. They haven't played all that great with them, and they're on the road. And so it's pretty much,
yeah.
I mean, you get 2 points at home, that's pretty much Vegas saying they think it's a toss-up. It's a pretty evenly matched game, unfortunately. I think on paper, when everyone's healthy, the Falcons are are better than the Saints pretty significantly. But obviously, as we know, the season doesn't play out on paper, and the Falcons aren't healthy right now.
I mean, last time we saw Kirk Cousins play, it was without Drake London. Or I'm sorry, start a game, I should say.
Right.
It was without Drake London, and it was that game against the Miami Dolphins where they got absolutely smoked. And that's the reason why I asked Raheem Morris this week, you know, what's going to be different about this team this week versus what we saw then, which was an anemic offense that couldn't basically do anything.
What did he say to that?
He said that it's going to be different this week because they can game plan around Kirk Cousins. In that week, if you remember, Penix was...
I do remember.
He was...
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I do remember. Sorry. That didn't mean to come out as funny as it did. I do remember, yes. Yeah,
so I do remember
that
it was
that
kind of unknown, actually. It kind of cropped up late in the week. It was like, oh, actually, he might not be able to play, and so they did kind of have to switch.
Well, then Drake, we didn't even know about Drake until, like, we got to the Wade Ford show on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
And you said to me, like, hey, they're going to work out Drake today about 11:30 and kind of determine whether or not he's going to play. And it's like, well, damn. Like, what? What?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And then obviously it all went the wrong way and the game was a disaster. But that's why, to get back to that question we sort of teased this segment with in the opening segment, was what do you expect them to play like today? Like, anybody who says anything other than I don't know is either being overly optimistic or overly pessimistic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the last 3 weeks, they've actually played decently. I mean, if you go back at the end of regulation over the last three games, they've been trailing by an average of less than 1 point. They lost by one, obviously, to the Colts, and then the last two games have gone to overtime. So clearly that's representative of being competitive and in the games. And against two of those teams, those are two pretty good teams.
Yeah.
Panthers aren't particularly good, but who are we to talk? They're 6-5. So right. And they beat the Falcons twice. But, you know, I hope that this game resembles that more than it does the two games where they've played what I thought at the time were the two worst teams that they've played this year. The two games I've been most confident in this season are the games they got smoked in, the first Carolina game and the Miami game. Now, by the time we got to kickoff with the Miami game, there was some, you know, some question because of what we just talked about with the injuries.
Right.
But, I mean, those were certainly Miami at the time. We were talking about firing their coach. They've played better since then. But
yeah.
The Saints aren't good.
The Falcons are 0-3, I believe, this season as favorites. Whenever they've been favored in a game, not only have they lost, in a couple of these against the Panthers.
Oh, yeah, they were favored heavily in both of those games.
Yeah.
I don't heavily, but like by a touchdown.
Panthers and Dolphins, and they lost in miserable fashion. So, yeah. And to your point about what the team looks like today, I totally agree that it's completely up in the air, and it's one of the reasons I'm interested to see, just to watch this game and see, what does this offense look like? Okay, so they do have Kirk Cousins. They are able to game plan around him and whatever, you know, they consider to be his strengths. What does that look like? You know, we saw this team kind of debut this pistol offense last year. And, you know, I think we kind of came to reason that was kind of due to the fact that Kirk Cousins couldn't really move all that well. And so, you know, getting him in that pistol look, shotgun based, you know, limits his need to move around. But then we see him come into the game last week against the Panthers, first play in the game, he's under center. And that's clearly the way that he likes to play. It's the way that he's played throughout his entire career, pretty much, playing under center in that play-action game.
You also saw them scrap the pistol, like, majority pistol offense after week one last year.
Exactly.
Remember, I mean, it was such a criticism out of that game. It was like, what did Kirk Cousins in this formation? And then, you know, then they went away from it quite a bit as the season went on. They were criticized heavily for Penix being in the pistol all season this year too, and they never changed it, which I think there's more to it than just they were criticized out of doing it.
Totally.
But that's something that had been a hallmark of the Penix offense this season.
So and kind of leads to questions I want to ask Zach Robinson, but it will have to happen next week or after this game, because we need this game with Kirk Cousins as the starter throughout the week and them game planning with it in order for me then to assess the data that we see in this game, given like whatever it is that we end up seeing, but then also to ask Zach, why implement the pistol offense? Like why was that kind of the direction that you wanted to take this team when it wasn't necessarily what Kirk Cousins preferred or what he was used to coming in? Was it for Michael Penix? Like, was the pistol offense brought in with Penix in mind? I don't know if it suits him all that well either. The only reason I would suggest that it might suit him is because he took a lot of snaps out of the shotgun formation when we played in college. But clearly, like, it hasn't really seemed to work all that well, regardless of which.
No matter who's running it, it hasn't been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, like, if I just boil down what I'm looking for today to like a very simple essence. It's, I think we'll find out whether or not Kirk Cousins can still be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I think the days of him being, you know, like a big, like a winning big time, I don't know that he's ever big time winning quarterback, but you know what I mean? Like being like a top half of the NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I think those days are probably gone.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if he can play because the last time we saw him obviously was in, you know, middle of the year last year through November when he got benched. And then the little bits we've seen this year, including the Miami game, which I guess, like you said, there's, you know, there's a little bit of an argument for, well, he didn't get to take all the reps and all that stuff. All right. If that's what it was, but we find out today because he got all of them.
Yeah.
And I know London's not out there, but that, all right, that's fine. Like he got all of them and they knew he was going to be the guy and he knew he was going to be the guy and the Saints aren't any good. Like there's no, well, we'll have to wait. No. Like we find out this afternoon if Kirk Cousins is still like capable of being a winning quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And honestly don't know. Like there's no way of knowing, but it's been pretty ugly.
It's been ugly. And it feels to me like defensive coordinators around the league have kind of caught on to his big vulnerabilities as a quarterback at this point in his career, which is that he just doesn't really have the, frankly, like the arm strength or the ability to kind of contort his body the way he likes to be able to create the arm strength, to be able to make all the throws that he needs to make. From what I've seen, really since, it feels like it's been, like since that Saints game where the downslide started, through currently, basically whenever Kirk Cousins plays, defensive coordinators are stacking the box because they know that the Falcons are going to try to give the ball to Bijan, so they're going to key in on the run game and making sure that doesn't beat them and play really tight press coverage on the outside, and especially when the team doesn't have Drake London to beat that press coverage. Make them beat you over the top. Make Kirk Cousins go, you know, pass the ball 30, 40 yards downfield and complete a ball to one of these receivers. I think defense coordinators are saying that, one, I don't think he can make that accurate throw, and two, I don't even think it's going to be that open, basically, for him with the receivers that the Falcons are throwing out there without Drake London, that they can just kind of go man coverage against David Sills and Casey Washington, and they're pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because I think that's also a commentary on just the Falcons offense, because that's what defenses were doing to the Penix quarterback to offenses too, right? As the season's gone on, they went heavy away from zone because the Falcons offense had actually looked pretty good against zone coverage, and stacked the box and said, well, you're not going to beat us with Bijan, and well, we don't trust this young quarterback. And the frustrating thing is he should have the arm to beat them over the top. Now, maybe the protection isn't there and the deep threat receiver hasn't been on the field as much. So I think that there's certainly a personnel aspect to it. But I also think you got to wonder if that's just defensive coordinators catching on to what the Falcons offense is, no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this is how we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
Because the pass game doesn't have it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Penix struggled for maybe different reasons than Kirk in this kind of setup, where I think with him, it's more just like the general accuracy and the unwillingness for him to throw over the middle. Like, you know, if he shows a willingness and propensity to throw over the middle, that's going to make defensive backs kind of really guard every inch of the field against these receivers, where I think right now, especially when Penix is in the game, they feel like they need to kind of guard against those sideline shots where he really likes to go with the ball outside of the numbers. And maybe that's a different wrinkle that Kirk can add to this offense, because he has been a middle of the field thrower throughout his career. But I think that there's, again, when we talk about the uncertainty of what this offense is going to look like, is it a Zach Robinson thing that we're not seeing so many balls being delivered over the middle?
That's what I mean. That's just, you know, I think that over however many games it's been now, 17 last year and Tessa 27 games, I think there's enough of a sample size. And again, maybe the sample size is reflective of the fact that you had a quarterback that for part of the year last year was hurt, and then this year you had a young guy, so maybe it's a limitations thing, or maybe it's just a tendencies thing. Like maybe defensive coordinators around the league have just been able to pick up on what Zach Robinson's offense can and can't do, and they've been able to kind of, all right, well, we're going to take away the thing that we know they want to do and the thing that they do really well when they're going, which is the run game. And especially without Drake London, like dare him to try to beat us with Kirk Cousins' arm. Like, again, that's what I'm saying. We'll find out today whether or not he can, because you know the Saints are going to have the same game plan.
Yeah, and I know we got to go to break. I want to make another quick point, though, about like the play-action game. This is when you would want the play-action game to be really sharp, because you know that defenses are going to be keyed in to stop that run game, like you were saying earlier. But this Falcons offensive attack has been ineffective in that area of the game, which is a big problem, and that's one that I, you know, kind of lay on the coaching.
Yeah, maybe with Kirk being under center more, maybe they'll be able to use that a little bit more today.
So.
Hopefully, yeah, because I mean it's so hard to just sit here before the game every week and be like, well, they don't do this,
right?
It's like there's so many things that they just don't do.
So if we can't do this and we can't do this,
we're not
going to
do play action. Yeah, we're not going to throw over the middle. The quarterback's never going to run. Like,
yeah,
it's like, all right, well,
tough to win.
The other couple things they do, they better be perfect at.
Right.
And that's just that's a tough way to live. Like, it's hard to be perfect in the NFL at anything.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take a look at some of the other games that are going to happen today, about half an hour away from kickoff, in the early slate of games. And, of course, keep getting ready for the Falcons and the Saints right here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Andy Bunker and Smokin' Joe Patrick taking you up until 2 o'clock this afternoon when the Falcons Radio Network will take over. They'll lead you till kickoff, Wes and Dave, obviously. Stay tuned for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. I would say, as much as we always think you should listen to the Falcons broadcast, and Wes and Dave do a great job, maybe today more than ever, because the TV broadcast is going to have a pretty significant former opponent in the color analyst seat. And I'm not talking about Jonathan Vilma. We've been there before. We've crossed that bridge. This one's probably worse.
I was going to say, it might be worse.
There's no might be. Because not only is this guy, yeah, man, it's Drew Brees. We don't have to get too deep into all of it. But yeah, Drew Brees is going to be on TV today calling this game. So save yourself the, just a little bit of, one of the control things you can control is that.
The Fox,
time up the radio broadcast with your TV and enjoy yourself.
The Fox game of the week, is that right, Noel? Is it the game of the week?
This?
The 4:25 start?
Yeah, no, there's another one. It's the Cowboys and Eagles.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I have to wonder if this is...
Co-game of the week.
Yes. Sure. if that's what you want to say. I have to wonder, because you know, like, there's two Fox games at 425, right? You get the team that's in your region, for the most part. I have to wonder if the Falcons and Saints is going to be the least, like, broadcast 425 Fox game ever.
Yeah.
Because if you're not in Saints country or Falcons country, you're not getting this one.
Yeah.
Like, because Cowboys games go everywhere all the time, obviously. Right. And the Eagles are good, and that's a rivalry. Like, it's a big one.
Yeah.
Like,
huge game.
Bo Johnson, who produces our show on the Midday Show, he's from Louisiana and not New Orleans. He's from around Shreveport. And he said that his parents don't even get the Saints game today.
Really?
Yeah. They're they're far enough away from New Orleans to where
they got to be in the downtown core.
Yeah. This is almost as bad. Do you remember blackouts? Like when you didn't sell out the home game and you wouldn't get the local? Yeah. Like this is almost to that.
That was actually a huge credit to Arthur Blank. When he bought the team, he started buying up all the seats that went unsold.
Right.
So that the market could watch the game, the home games that didn't, you know, actually sell out. And
I remember as a kid, it was a dice roll. Like because they would make the announcement, I think, on Saturday, right? Or early Sunday morning or something like that. But it was like, are we going to get to watch the Seahawks game today? They're not very good. And it's not a great opponent coming to town. So, like, yeah, it's not sold out. All right, I guess we'll just listen on the radio.
Yeah, when you flip on the TV and it's like Stargate SG-1 or like some,
Why is Charmed on? I do think Charmed reruns are going to take a big hit with the NBA on TNT no longer existing.
That's right, yeah.
Because, like, I would fall asleep watching the late TNT game on, like, a Thursday night and then just flip my TV on the next day and it would be like, oh, Charmed is on. Look at that. But now that they're not on TNT anymore, what are they going to do? Who are the actresses? Alyssa Milano? Anyway, what are the reruns going to do? All right, enough of that. Let's get back into – we'll get into the other games today in just a little bit because there's some pretty fun ones, some pretty big playoff-implicated games on the schedule today. But we were talking about sort of what to expect today, the Kirk Cousins of it. One thing I have heard people talking about this week that I think is not entirely wrong, but I think you need to have the full context of where Kirk Cousins is at right now with this Falcons contract. Like, I don't know that Kirk is really playing for anything – in the future here, other than maybe showing other teams what he's capable of. Because Kirk Cousins is on the Falcons roster next year under this contract. It's a $57.5 million cap hit. 0% chance of that.
Yeah.
No one can play football well enough in the final seven games of this year for that to happen. So, I suppose the possibility would be if he played well enough, they would restructure. But I don't really see that. Doesn't seem like a restructure guy to me.
Yeah. It's hard to see that happening based off of what happened last year,
right?
Where he, apparently just did not disclose his injury to the team, and so you can only imagine how the team feels about that behavior.
Yeah, then he thought it'd be cool to joke about that on Wednesday. That was pretty fun.
That was wild.
Anyway, that was wild. But yeah, so
that's the kind of thing you say when you're not going to be back now. When you know you're not coming back.
Like that's such a. I don't know what it is. I don't want to make it like more than what it was because I don't think it's like some like huge like grievance or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just a lack of awareness, man.
Yeah.
Like fan base is hurting pretty
People
good.
People invested
right now.
In this.
Yeah. Like
stuff.
That too for sure. Like someone did give you $100 million.
Oh, I'm just talking about the fans, like emotionally being invested in this team, and it's kind of
nobody's really joking around this week.
Yeah.
You know? Like, team's 3-7, and the starting quarterback just injured his knee again, and he's going to be out for the year.
Yeah.
Like, no one's really looking for the stand-up routine of the backup. You know? That's all I'm saying.
It's so true. But
plus, he's also just not funny. Like, I don't know. But anyway.
To get back.
That's why I don't want to go too far down the road, because my Kirk Cousins, like, real Kirk Cousins opinions are going to start showing, and nobody needs those.
To kind of get back to the brass tacks of it all, like, it was actually reported, and I can't remember if it was Jonathan Jones or Albert Breer, but some national reporter wrote a story kind of taking you behind the scenes of how the deal came to be last year when, Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons. This was shortly after the deal was done, meaning that this was under the understanding that he was going to be the franchise quarterback for the next couple years at least before they had drafted Michael Penix. And the way that the story ended was describing something that happened after the contract was signed. Terry Fontenot and some members from the front office went out and, you know, they walked out of the parking lot together with Kirk and his agent, Mike McCartney. And apparently they shook hands and they said, Mike McCartney, Kirk Cousins' agent, said, we'll see you back here again in 2 years. We're that confident he's going to play well. And that meaning that this was always a two-year contract with the idea that he was going to play so well, you would want to extend the contract and rearrange the financials, because the second half of this contract, the financials don't really make sense in any realistic sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think when the contract was signed, even pre-Michael Penix draft, we all understood that it was a two-year deal with the potential of more if he played great, right? Like, if he played only okay, maybe he would retire at the end of it. If he played bad, that would be a disaster. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, even without the Penix context. But yeah, the way that it was written was always that it was front loaded. As long as he got that $10 million bonus for being on the roster this year in March, which he was, then that's $100 million paid out, the guarantees.
Yep.
And in order for him to be on the team next year, like you said, it would either be a restructure or an extension or something like that. Neither of those things is going to happen.
It was reported as a 4-year, $180 million contract. It's really a 2-year, $100 million contract.
Exactly.
Is what it was.
Exactly. And those 2 years are almost over. And the $100 million has been paid out pretty much. I mean, he's still getting paychecks weekly for the next 7 weeks.
I thought you were going to say the $100 million has gone somewhere else. Like,
oh, I'm sure it's probably in a nice index fund.
Something low risk.
I'll say as much as, you know,
a nice CD.
One thing I will say, like, if I'm going to say something nice about the guy, is he definitely knows how to get the money.
Yeah,
he knows how to get the guarantees, and I assume he's smart with it on the back end. There's no 7 week tryout. Like, Kirk Cousins is not the Falcons quarterback next year. Plus, also,
I wish it was, honestly. Like, I wish we did have a quarterback where it was like, okay, like, is he going to be part of this team going forward?
Oh, me too.
Like,
but that's, yeah, me too. So there was something to sort of, you know, look at. Now, again, there is that with other guys.
Yes,
like,
yes.
There is that with a lot of the guys on defense. Like, no matter what happens, whether they miraculously win out and go on the most unexpected run of a would be a sports movie ever, or it kind of peters out the way it probably is going to, and they change leadership and all of that. There's a lot of guys on this roster that are going to be here for a number of years because they're young and on rookie contracts.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And by the way, just one more thing about Kirk, like, he can actually, you want competency at quarterback going forward the rest of the season so that you can assess some of these other pieces and whether they are going to be pieces going forward for you. So he does still have a significant role to play for this team as they finish out this season. And yeah, you're right. I mean,
that's interesting though. What offensive pieces do you wonder about? You know what I mean? Like, Drake's going to be here. Bijan's going to be here.
Yeah.
I think we kind of know on Kyle Pitts at this point. Maybe they don't, but I feel like you and I are
That was when I was going to throw in there. Just because I agree. Like, me and you are kind of similar thought on it, that he won't be around long term. But you know, if he plays well, would you potentially franchise tag him and then try to trade him if you didn't see him being around long term?
I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that is realistic. You know what I mean? Because if you franchise tag him and can't trade him, then you got to pay him quite a bit. And I just don't think his production
justifies that.
And then also just don't, what are you going to get for him? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, the risk reward on that one is tough.
Yeah. Well, certainly if he's played, it would, again, he would have to like really excel down the stretch of the season in order for something like that to make sense. But those are the kinds of things I'm thinking about. Also, Tyler Allgeier, like,
I think that's an interesting one.
It is a foregone conclusion that he's like always going to be a goner because the team has Bijan Robinson. And that's probably right. But I mean, he is really important to what this team does right now, and it's going to be a hit to see him go, like, for this Falcons offense.
And maybe, you know, it's so hard to even speculate on that one, knowing who the people are that are going to be making these decisions, right? Because if it's, I don't know, if it's this front office and this coaching staff, maybe they view it that way. Somebody takes over, like, we're not really doing like a 1-2 punch thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they are, but I don't, he's definitely one of the interesting ones where it's like, well, he's clearly like, I don't know, In the context of this season, Bijan's number one, or Drake's number one, Bijan's whatever, those guys are 1A, 1B. He's been the third best offensive player.
No doubt.
Even more so than Penix. He just doesn't get the ball as much, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when he's been used, he's been effective.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and like, when you see him in person, by the way, Andy, like, you realize why he would be so difficult to tackle. He's like a square. That's like his body shape. He's like, he's so big around, but he's also kind of got this low center of gravity. And I just feel like it's something that's not that easy to find. Like, I know that a lot of people think, like, oh, you can just get like your bruising running back in the draft and you don't have to pay him and such. Yeah. But I think easier said than done.
Did you see the kid last night for BYU, LJ Martin? They went 32 carries for 220 yards and two touchdowns. I was like, oh, it's the new Tyler Algier right there, which, if you know, you might be able to draft that guy in the fourth or fifth round or something like that. Yeah. But I was watching that game last night against Cincinnati. I was like, oh, they got a new Tyler Algier at BYU.
But I remember talking to Arthur Smith after they drafted him about, you know, like why they liked him and stuff. And they said that, like, he was among the college football leaders in forced missed tackles. Yeah. And it's not like he does it in the same way that Bijan does he's like making you, leaving your jockstrap on the ground, but he's just running through arm tackles.
He doesn't want you to miss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he wants you to hurt. Yeah. All right, we'll get back into today with the Falcons in just a few minutes. Let's take a look around the rest of the NFL. Brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com. Some pretty good ones on the schedule today. Steelers and Bears kick off here in about 10 minutes. Steelers have been playing better on defense over the last couple of weeks. Yep. Bears are 7-3. Like,
crazy.
They're kind of this year's Commanders.
They started 0-2. Yep. Ben Johnson calls out their practice habits publicly. I'm sure it's something that he probably talked to the team about privately, but then to call him out publicly and he gets that response from the team,
yep,
that's a sign of a good coach. That's a sign of a coach that has confidence in himself, yep, to have the cojones to do that kind of a thing, and good on him.
I also just think there's something to be said, because if we're talking about the Falcons not doing it, teams finding a way to win those grimy games, because they don't win pretty. They've had a couple like nice performances this year, but for the most part, it's like 19-17, and something breaks their way in the fourth quarter because they've just been playing pretty well. Joe Burrow's going to be back for the Bengals today. Patriots.
I don't think he is.
Actually. Oh, is he not? Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they said he's not.
It
was looking that way, like he was going to practice, like he was going to play all week long. And then I believe it was yesterday or Friday they said that, they're going to hold him out.
Well, then that game has absolutely no juice. And the Patriots will probably smoke him. My bad. As we scroll down, boy, the Titans are awful. 1-9. Colts and Chiefs are fun.
Yeah, on that Steelers game, Aaron Rodgers not playing today.
Okay. Either. All right. Chiefs are 5-5. And we talked about it last week as they were playing a divisional opponent. Like, time to get a win. They didn't. It's hard to come back from 5-6, even if you got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, true. And, you know, going up against Indy, that's a tough
one. Who's a very good team.
Yeah.
Like we said, Eagles-Cowboys, the other 4:25 Fox game. The Cowboys are 4-5-1. But made some defensive additions at the deadline.
Playing better.
Their offense
is good. Yeah.
Dak is playing awesome. George Pickens is playing awesome. Like, I don't know. If they win this one, also the Eagles fans are just ready to kind of give up and freak out on this team, even though they're 8-2. And then right. Sunday Night Football tonight's a good one, too. Bucks and Rams.
Yeah, that'll be a really good game. That'll be a really good game.
All right, so those are the other games around the league today, as always, brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork, head to simplyhatfield.com. Hour number one in the books. We'll take a break and come back, and Joe will get us an injury report as far as who's going to be available and not for the Falcons today, as the Falcons get set to take on the Saints right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.